Amen. And for people that know how to pray, people that are calling upon the Lord and praying, will you pray for these? Remember to pray for their families of these that are going through these really trying times. They just need the comfort and the help of the Spirit. And one of the tough times, tough things about this situation is that, like in Brother James Parker's situation, of course, they've moved him into a room now where he can have visitors, but only one visitor at a time. And so it's very hard for Sister Ruth to have to go in there by herself, and for James Robert to have to go in by himself with Brother James being so sick. It's a tough and a difficult time, and these folks need our prayers. They need the grace of God to surround them and to help them through this. And quite frankly, we need the help of the Lord too. We really do. We just need help from God here in the church. We've had quite an attack against us in our church, and so we need help from the Lord. But I'm so grateful we can look to the Lord today. We can look to His Word, and we're going to look one more time in the book of Ruth, chapter 4. Ruth, chapter 4. This is where all the events of this chapter, of this book, all come to a wonderful, joyous conclusion. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's read it here. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, "Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of the people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, "Buy it for thee." So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, "Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's, and all that was Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day." And the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and two worthily in Ephratah be famous in Bethlehem." We'll stop reading right there. What a wonderful story the book of Ruth is. You remember, we need to go back and just kind of review a little bit all the way back to chapter 1, to the place where there was a famine that came to Bethlehem. And this family decided to leave Bethlehem. Remember, Bethlehem was the house of bread. And the house of bread was going through a famine. And during this famine, they decided to go to Moab. They traveled to Moab. One of the prophets called Moab, described Moab, said, "Moab is my washpot. It's my washpot." It's really, he was saying, it's like my trash bin. And so they left the house of bread and they went to Moab, the trash bin. Not a good move, not a good decision. And along with that bad decision came the death of first Elimelech and then his two sons. And tragedy struck the family down there. Now, how many times have you seen and witnessed, as I have over the years, people get into a hard time, a hard situation, and the first thing that they do is they give up on God. They turn away from God. I've seen people go through trials, suffer tragedy, and instead of running to God with their whole heart, run away from God. Turn away from the Lord instead of running to the Lord. I want you to know, certainly we're going through some hard times right now as a church. A lot of church families going through some hard things right now. This is no time to turn our back on God. This is no time to let up in our commitment to God. This is no time to stop pursuing the things of the Lord. Yes, this is a testing time. Yes, it's a troubling time. One writer said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Amen. You know, there's no place to give up. This is not a time to let up. If anything, this is a time to press in with our whole heart, to call upon the Lord with our whole heart. As a matter of fact, testing times are proving times. Testing times, when you come through the trial and the testing time, it has a way of strengthening you and helping you. You come out on the other side and you're stronger because you've come through the testing time and you have passed the test. And so truly, the people of God, the church, is going through difficult times. Not just our church, but just churches in general are facing a lot of trying times right now with all of this attack of the enemy against the church. But this is no time to give up on God. This is no time to lose heart or to be discouraged in heart. It's time to hold on with faith and confidence in God. God will bring us through it. Amen. We're going to come through this thing. We're going to get to the other side of this thing. I know it seems like that it's a long testing period. But I assure you that God is in control and he's working mightily in this situation. Deuteronomy 8 and 16 says that he fed them in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee or test thee, that he might prove thee so that he could do good to thee in the latter end. That's what God wanted to do. Amen. He allowed them to go through the wilderness. He allowed them to face the trials. He allowed them to go through difficult times, and he brought them through it. It was a proving time. It was a testing time. And during these days, we need to understand God is just as real and sometimes even more real in the middle of our trial than at other times. We're experiencing the help of the Lord. It's no time to run away from God. No time to run away from the church. Made me think, I was thinking about this, and I remember when our nephew Joseph Parker, who's now a pastor in his 30s, he was about 3 years old, and Dave and Jeannie were pastoring out in West Plains. And on Wednesday night, they had groups, children's groups, and different things going on. And at about 3 years old, he got away from the church. And they were just a few blocks, their church was just a few blocks from right downtown West Plains, Missouri. And he walked away from the church as just a little toddler and was walking toward downtown. And someone saw him and grabbed him up and brought him back to the church. And they, of course, you know, getting on to him for what he did and asking him, what were you doing? And he said, I was escaping the church. I was escaping the church. A lot of people are trying to escape the church these days, when really we need to be running to God, running to the Lord with our whole heart. They left the house of bread to go to the trash bin. And there in Moab, they lost a lot. There was great tragedy that happened to them down there in Moab. But thank God that even after the tragedy that Naomi knew, she'd heard the report. Bethlehem is now in harvest time. They're now experiencing a harvest and a blessing. And so she decided to go back, and she takes her daughter-in-laws with her, but it's only Ruth that eventually goes back with her. Another thought that had come to my mind about this whole story, and that is the power of just one decision. The power of one decision, how that it can change the rest of your life. You know, as believers, we need to pray about everything we do, about every decision, about every move we make, every step that we take. We need to pray about it. We need to call upon the Lord, because decisions are powerful. They're really powerful. Now, let's think about the power of this one decision when Ruth said, no, I'm not going to go back. I'm going to cleave to you. I'm going to stay with you, Naomi. Whether thou goest, I'm going to go. Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. I've made the decision. I am going with you back to Bethlehem. This was a big decision. This was a big decision deciding that, and you know that in your life you make decisions, and when the day that you decided to serve Lord and turn away from sin and follow after God with your whole heart, oh, what a life-changing decision that was. The day that you decided to serve God, what an eternal decision that was. And for Ruth, she made the decision that not only was affecting her, but affecting her future, her family, and you know the scripture that she was listed in the genealogy. She was grafted into the family, even though she was a Moabite, and they were pagan, and they were idol worshipers, and they were wicked and vile. Yet God accepted her into the family of God, and she changed her life, her future, and even her genealogy is changed. She could have no doubt never had imagined that one decision would have been so powerful. But I want you to know that the decision to follow God and to follow the will of God is a mighty important decision. And you could never imagine how far-reaching and how many lives could be affected and how much can be changed whenever you decide, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to go after God with my whole heart. And so she's grafted into the family of Boaz. She's grafted into the family. And before long, she becomes a mother and the grandmother of King David. Amen. How could she had ever imagined it? Well, it's because God is a God that whenever we choose to follow after him and to turn from our sins and to follow him, God is a God who delights in working in your life. He delights in working in wonderful things, in wonderful ways in your life. The book of Hebrews says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's just one thing that defines who our God is, that he is a God that when you decide, I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to turn from sin, and I'm going to become a believer and follow Jesus all the days of my life, then you set in motion the wonderful blessing and the power of God in your life, because God is a rewarder. That's who he is. God rewards those who diligently seek him. Praise God. And so what a wonderful, wonderful message in the book of Ruth that reminds us that God can take one decision and do wonderful big things with that one decision. And it's an important thing. I've also observed people walk away from God, walk away from the voice of the Lord, and find themselves in terrible trouble. And not only that, but then the far-reaching effect of their decision to go away from God, their decision to say no to God, to backslide and to turn away from the Lord, and what that does to their children, what that does to generations that are to come. It's unimaginable, the horrible things that happen in people's lives when they do not have God at the center of their life. Amen. You begin to follow God, then you see the hand of God in your life. And that's what happens to Ruth. She gets to Bethlehem, and immediately it says she happened on the field of Boaz, but we know that when it comes to a believer, a Christian, there's no such thing as coincidence. No such thing as, oh, this just happened to me. When you're following the Lord, there's no coincidences in your life anymore. In your life, there is the hand of God. In your life, there is the direction of God. In your life, there is the blessing and the provision of the Lord. And she just happened on the field of Boaz. That's what it said. But we know that all along that God was orchestrating the whole wonderful plan of God for her. And how he was going to use her. That God can pick someone up out of Moab and engraft them into the family of God. And not only save them, but use them mightily. And give them a future and give them hope. Praise God for that wonderful truth. Amen. When you begin to follow God, then you'll see the hand of the Lord in your life. It was there that she happened on the field of Boaz. And Boaz noticed her. His eye was upon her. I'm telling you, this book is chock full of wonderful, wonderful spiritual truths. That the eyes of the Lord are always upon us. His eyes upon us. Boaz is watching. He notices her. And then he immediately takes her under his wing. Tells all the young men, leave her alone. Tells all of them, make sure that she has plenty. Make sure that there's provision for her and for Naomi. And she is blessed and blessed and blessed because she has become a part of this wonderful family of God. Praise God. The scriptural term is the term handfuls on purpose. I've got a little set of books called Handfuls on Purpose, and which just little nuggets of truth from God's word. And that's exactly what God provides for us all through the days of our life. No matter how young or how old you are, it makes no difference in your life that God all along the way is making provision for you. He cares about you, and he's making sure that you have what you need. He's working in your behalf. He's providing for you if you'll just put your trust in the Lord today. And that starts when you begin to follow the Lord. You see the providential working of God in your life. And then, of course, Boaz. We talked about it last week, that Boaz takes her under his wing. He takes her under his wing. He promises to take care of her. In the chapter that we've just read, in chapter 4, you see the transaction that takes place. It talks about that Boaz is sitting in the gate. Of course, in Old Testament times, that's where business was taken care of. It was in the gates of the city. It was somewhat like a court or a council. And the men or the elders of the city would sit in the gate and they would make decisions about the city. Abraham sat in the gate of the city. It was Lot also who sat in the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you can read about many places. And so sitting in the gates meant that they were an elder or leader and that they were making decisions about the city and about the future, and any transaction would take place there sitting at the gate. So that's where Boaz is early the next morning. He promised her, I will take care of this. I will provide for you. Now, there was another redeemer, another kinsman, another relative that was closer in kinship to the family. And so he had first privilege, first right to step up. And so Boaz goes to meet with him, and he meets with him as he sees him walking through the city. He says, hey, come in, let's have conference. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about Naomi. Let's talk about our family, Elimelech, and all of their lands, and that someone must redeem them. And according to the law of God, that under the Jewish law, the nearest relative was to not only buy and pay all their debts, but was also to take that one that was a widow in as their wife so that they could carry on the family name and carry on that family's lineage. And so that relative, he says to him, will you take this and pay all of these debts? And he said, I'll do it. I'll redeem. He said, well, when you do that, just take note of this. And I think Boaz was using, you know, he was using his wisdom in the way that he approached this. He said that when you pay all of their debts, you're also going to get Ruth. You're going to get a Moabitish woman to be your wife. And then this kinsman redeemer says, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. That's going to mess up all of my family and all of my inheritance. I can't do that. And Boaz knew that would probably be his response. And Boaz steps up. He steps up to take her in and to make her his wife and to pay off all of her debts. Now, Boaz is a wonderful type of Jesus Christ. He is a wonderful picture of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us, all of us. Boaz was the kinsman redeemer that paid all the debts and took her in. That's what Jesus has done for you and me. He made himself of no reputation, it says in Philippians, and took upon himself upon the form of a serpent and was a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Jesus condescended to become like men so that he could take on the debt of all of mankind. That's what Boaz did. He said, I don't care if she's from Moab. I don't care what she has been. I want to take her in. I want her to be my wife. I want to pay all of her debts. And that's what Jesus has done for you and me as well. We're not deserving of this. We're not worthy of a Savior. Oh, but Jesus himself, that kinsman redeemer, the Son of God, stepped down from heaven and said, I'll condescend and I'll take on the form of flesh and I'll be like a man and I'll take on all of your debts and I'll pay the price. And we know that Jesus went to the cross and he paid the price for all of us to be saved. And it's not because we deserve him. We don't deserve him. We're outcast. We're sinful. We're wicked. We have nothing good in us. But he condescended. He came to this earth and became our kinsman redeemer. Praise God. Hallelujah for that. Boaz was a type of Christ because he became our redeemer. He was a type of Christ because he paid the full price. He paid all of their debts, all that they had. And isn't it a wonderful thing that Ruth goes in and she's the servant and the slave, and she's just eking out a living, taking the handfuls on purpose in the corners of the field of Boaz. But now she owns the field. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now she owns the field. She's married to Boaz. And the field that she once was just getting a little bit of grain out of the corner, now she looks over those fields and recognizes, I'm an owner. I have ownership rights because of what Boaz has done in providing for me. And that's what Jesus has done for every one of us. Hallelujah. Amen. We all were undeserving and unworthy.
But he didn't make us a slave or a servant, but he made us heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, how privileged we are today to know the Lord, and not just to know him, but to be a part of the family of God, to be grafted into the family of God. How blessed that we are. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of the fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. You know my story. I was just a kid when I got saved. I heard the gospel and I understood it enough to put faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I can't imagine the wreck and the ruin of my life if it hadn't been for the love and the mercy of God. If it hadn't been for God coming by and moving in my life and moving in my family. And oh, the difference that Jesus has made in my life. And he can make the same difference in your life, in your future, if you'll put your trust in the Lord today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, there's nothing but joy at the close of this story. Nothing but joy. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went in unto her. The Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Praise God. Amen. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Oh, the joy that now comes to Naomi. Remember, she was Naomi, which meant pleasant. When she came back, after all she went through, coming back to Bethlehem, she said, do not call me pleasant, call me Mara, bitter. But all that bitterness is gone now because Boaz has stepped on the scene. All the bitterness is gone. All the loss and the tragedy, it's a long way off now. And all she's experiencing is the wonderful provision of the Lord. He is restoring her life. He is restoring her life. He is nourishing her in her old age. Praise God. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Praise God. Glory to God. You can never, ever imagine what God can do with one life that just surrenders to the plan of God. What God can do, and what great joy and what great fulfillment and what great blessing that can come to a life who surrenders themselves to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the day, Lord, that we heard the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for the time that we had faith enough to reach out to you, Lord, to confess our sins, to repent of our sins. We thank you, Lord, that all along the way, down through the many years, you have been faithful. And even today, even though we're in hardship and our hearts are saddened and we're going through troubling times, you're right here with us, Lord. You're right here with us in the middle of all this. And I thank you for that. I thank you haven't forgotten us. Thank you, Lord. You know, right where we are, you know our experience, you know our trouble. And I know, Lord, that you're our Redeemer, our Savior. We know, Lord, that you care about us. And you're working, Lord. I know you're working. Even in the middle of all that's happening, you're working. We praise God for that. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I would assume that most everybody here in this service today, you're a Christian. But if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you're not a born-again Christian, you need to turn your life over to the Lord today. You need to get right with God. You need to allow Him to put you in the family of God. You need to allow God to begin working in your life, changing your life, changing your future, changing your destiny. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Can we stand together today?